that causes healing to go about, that repairs DNA, that brings in that refreshing aspect that causes a positive reaction that heals and builds and cleans out the cell. Essential oils have the highest vibrational quality of any living medicine, and that's why they're so fast acting and so effective. They have a very high vibrational quality. Herbs have vibrational quality. Fresh fruits and vegetables have vibrational qualities. Freshly made fruit and vegetable juices have vibrational qualities. These are the things that heal us and build us up and bring that life force back into our body that's in the vibrations that our Heavenly Father put in there. One day I was thinking about how our Heavenly Father spoke everything into existence, say into a pine tree that you can get pine needle oil off of, and pine needle oil will heal the AIDS virus. It kills, it basically disintegrates the AIDS virus. When he put that in there, it's still ringing like a beautiful song, sense creation, and every pine tree is still ringing that vibrational quality even to this day. And it was just overwhelming to me to think that when our Heavenly Father put Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden with all of these flowers and fruits and vegetables, he was medicating them and encouraging them and healing them constantly by the giving off of these oils from these plants in the garden. And it helped them to have eternal life at that point before they sinned. I mean, it was so marvelous to me that he had provided this healing, life-promoting, life-prolonging power in these live things. And it's something that we need to think about when you think about medicine, because drugs have no vibrational quality at all.
And that's really interesting that you go back to the garden, because like you said, he declares the end from the beginning, and we can learn so much from there. What is the first law that was ever broken by mankind after all? Wasn't it, do not eat of this one tree? So he told them not to eat something. So that brings us to maybe talk about what we should and shouldn't be eating and putting into our temples, which 1 Corinthians 6:19 says, "What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, or the Ruach HaKodesh, which is in you, which ye have of Elohim, and ye are not your own? For ye were bought with a price, therefore glorify Elohim in your body and in your spirit, which are Elohim's." And so if our bodies are our temples, and he has rules of what we should be eating or putting into our temples in order for him to be able to abide there with us, we should certainly be paying attention to that, shouldn't we?
Yes. Any type of restoration has to start with cleaning out first and then rebuilding. When the temple was repaired at different times, they cleaned out all the trash before they started rebuilding. You'll notice all of these home renovation shows that are on TV, they clean out everything that's bad before they start rebuilding and making it fresh and new. We also know that your body cannot really recover until you clean out all of the stuff in there that's hindering the chemical processes from proceeding. So you have to do cleansing before you can do building up. It's a very vital process and understanding you have of rebuilding your health. I know of people that have had different diseases that just start on really adequate nutrition programs. And I'll just give you an example of one. There was a pastor of a church. His wife came to me. She had what is called cancer. And she said she had been on a very adequate nutrition program, but she was only getting worse and worse. And I told her, there's a parasite always associated with cancer. I said, if you have true cancer, there's a parasite, there's a fungus, and there's a hormone that drives cancer growth. There's three things. And if you work on those three things, you can get rid of cancer very quickly. I said, if you're taking a high nutrition program and you have that parasite, all you're doing is very adequately feeding that parasite so it can reproduce, and your cancer is going to get worse. And a look of shock came over her face because she realized that she basically was feeding the cause of her disease instead of curing it. So once you clean out the things that cause a problem, then you can start rebuilding. That to me is not only a physical principle, it's also spiritual, because we're told to repent because the kingdom of God is headed toward us. And we have to be cleaned out first before we can receive the good things that he has for us, even to receive the Holy Spirit, because it said, repent so that you may receive the Holy Spirit. We have to clean out the bad. We have to clean out the disobediences. We have to stop sinning. We have to stop sinning against our own body and stop putting things into it that stop the processes from proceeding normally, and clean all of that out. Then you can build yourself up and grow into a mature, whole person. As I said, it applies to the physical as well as the spiritual. Very important principle to understand.
Yes, and he gives us a very good place to start, especially. I know that a lot of Torah observant believers that are listening to this program have probably already been there, but there may be some people that are new that are just now tuning in. And so I think it's important that we go to Leviticus 23 and encourage people to read Leviticus 23 and what our Father calls food and not food. He's our Creator, and so he knows what's good for us, and he tells us what to eat and what to not eat. And that would include, you know, pork and shellfish and that kind of thing. And so I think that's the place that we all need to start, for one, is not eating the things that he says are not food for us. And then from there, he'll lead us step by step if there's other things that we need to get rid of, such as, you know, recently I've quit dairy altogether. I don't know if I will forever. I might someday be able to do sheep's milk again, but I just felt led by the Father that it was time to stop dairy. And so he leads you step by step in what he wants you to clean out of your body, as long as you'll make that first step and go to his word and find out what he says is food and what isn't. And then he'll take you on a journey from there. One thing that is really hidden these days, which is so nefarious, it's hidden into our food. It's food that he says we can eat. But unfortunately, in these foods, there's genetically modified organisms, which I don't believe are food because they've been modified from what our Creator created. But there's genetically modified foods I think we should steer clear away from. I think there's pesticides and antibiotics and all of that kind of stuff that is in food that is supposed to be clean for us, but now it's made it food that is not good for us any longer. You have thoughts on that?
Yes, it takes a study, and it takes a diligence, and it takes a consistency to seek out these things. If you go what's called all organic, that's the first step. Get as much homegrown food as you can. Get as much food that's marked organic. I know that you can't always trust everyone all the time, but the likelihood that you're going to get the most organic is with it a label that actually says organic. There's such a great misunderstanding about the GMO foods. It's not hybridization. It's not something processed naturally. Like the pears that we have now are different than the pears at creation. It's not a Luther Burbank process where he just bred different fruits together to make a new fruit. These are completely changed chemically on the DNA level. And they're trying to fuse together things in the DNA that never would come together naturally. And they do different things to your body. One of the things that GMO foods do that is over time, they basically destroy the digestive system. And if you can't digest food, you're going to die eventually, because you've got to be able to digest your food to have the nutrients to go in there and sustain you. It's very serious. People are not educated about it enough, but you can find a lot of information about it. Anything that has the black and white USDA organic label on it cannot be genetically modified at this point. So your smartest choice is, if you have to buy foods and can't grow your own, to go that way. There's so many different things that you mentioned that I would like to comment on. The meats, the animals mentioned in the Bible, that division there in Leviticus 11 and Deuteronomy 14, the Heavenly Father delineates for us and shows us which ones of those animals are for food. When creation happened, he said everything he created was good, and I believe that. The animals that are delineated as unclean or unfit for food have an absolutely marvelous purpose in creation. And that purpose is to encapsulate in their bodies all of the filth of the earth. And when they encapsulate it in their bodies, it keeps the filth away from us. To go and eat those the bodies of those animals that are scavenger animals, basically, cleaning up other dead animals, molds, fungus, rotting matter in their bodies, is just so dangerous for your health. When you understand the nature of these animals, because they're encapsulating all of this in their body, and then you eat their flesh, you're basically giving yourself a direct application of the filth of the earth. That'll should completely revolutionize your thinking about how you view the clean and unclean animals of the Bible. Our Heavenly Father told us to eat the ones that were browsers and mostly vegetarian in nature, so that they're getting only vegetable matter mostly in their diet. It's so much healthier for us to eat their flesh, and it brings health to us. So that's one thing that, you know, can really bring our thought processes more in line with the love of our Heavenly Father, to see how He's provided for us and told us openly which ones are good for us and which ones are not.
Yes, and back to the GMO issue, just a heads up to everyone, I recently read or heard a report that talked about some new genetic modification that they're doing, but they're not calling it genetic modification because they're not actually adding in foreign DNA like they do with true GMOs. What they're doing is going into the genome of the plants and the animals, and they are changing things within that animal itself that passed along in the genome to future generations, but they're actually changing the gene. They're not adding to it, or they may be taking away from it, but they're not adding anything foreign to it, so they are not going to have to call it genetically modified, because they can even say that this is natural. It's still their genes, but they're changing them somehow, either taking things out or modifying things in the genome of that animal or that plant. And so those things are not, you know, for all we know, they may end up being able to be called organic because they didn't actually add anything into them.
That's a possibility. I don't know that there's been a ruling on that yet by the government agency that, you know, oversees this, but it's a very serious thing. I mean, you can see that the devil and evil and wicked forces are trying to change food itself, which is, you know, the very basis of our existence to a certain degree. We have to have food. We have to have pure soil. Our soil's been ruined. The air's being ruined by the chemtrails. There's so many different ways that we're being poisoned. And we have to, you know, in order to overcome, we have to be fully awake and aware of the facts. We have to internalize those facts and act on those facts and do the best we can do with what we understand to make the proper food and medicine choices. And you can do it. I mean, I'm 66 years old at the making of this recording, and I feel terrific. I'm on no drugs. I just feel still like I did when I was 20 years old. And I feel we're supposed to feel like that. And we're supposed to be very clear-minded. We're supposed to have lots of energy. We're not supposed to have aches and pains and so forth. You know, so it's possible to achieve that, but you have to be diligent and use these wonderful things that our Heavenly Father has been. There's so many, many wonderful things out there that we can use that are more available really on a worldwide stage than there were even 20, 30 years ago. We're so fortunate in this country to have so many things imported from around the world into our country. The different fruits and vegetables, and as well as the different herbs, we have them available. And we have the internet that gives us access to the shopping places that offer these things.
Right. That's a very good point. As our health challenges become a lot more challenging, we do have a lot more resources available to us. Unfortunately, a lot of them do cost, because the organically grown is going to cost more. The essential oils are going to cost more. And so our society is also keeping us pretty bound down as far as financially. If we're buying, you know, health insurance for the regular medical system, then we may not have money left to be able to buy the good food and to buy the essential oils and the natural healing things. And so I think at some point it comes a choice where we have to make a choice. Are we going to, which are we going to participate in? Are we going to participate in the main mainstream medical insurance type thing, or are we going to instead invest that money we would be spending there into all natural foods, organic foods, essential oils, natural healing things, vitamins, minerals, that kind of supplements? Which one are we going to invest our limited resources into? And I think that's a decision we're all going to be faced with before too long.
I think people are faced with it right now. And, you know, it's just making wise choices. And it's also changing over from the way that you're accustomed to doing things to the way that's going to promote health for you. And it takes time. We learn step by step in almost everything that we learn. Our Heavenly Father watches us to see what we do with the step that He's revealed to us right now. That's why it's so important as you learn anything new, do it step by step. Do one thing, prove it to yourself if it works or it doesn't work for you, and then go on to the next step. Give yourself a chance and allow yourself to mature in your understanding, whether it's physical or spiritual, you know, so and solidify that concept into your lifestyle so that you can go on to the next step. Make a habit of that first step. Then you can go on to the next step and solidify the next step. Our Heavenly Father's merciful and long-suffering and patient with us, because almost everything you learn on your own, you have to learn it as He chooses to reveal it to you. And it's very interesting how different people, even that come to me for help, the different levels of understanding that they have and the different ways that things are revealed to them that help them, that put them a little bit farther. One young man that I met, very interesting story. He was a very wealthy young man. His father owns a major company in the United States, and he sent him through college to basically take over this company. And he said that I had so much money available to me, I could do anything I wanted to. And he said in college, I basically took drugs and I, you know, didn't really study that much and so forth. But he said his body started going down when he took the drugs, and he said he was tired of it. He wanted to feel strong again. So he said he stopped the drugs and started exercising, started eating better. And these are his words. He said, "When my mind cleared from the drugs, I started thinking about our Heavenly Father." And he later became quite a testimony to others of how he became converted. He became a Messianic believer. Now he's a teacher at a school teaching young people about all of the things that he's learned in life. He became a very prolific organic gardener. And he basically turned his back on running this company for his father because he felt he could help more people by becoming a teacher of the things that he had learned. So it shows you that there's a hand-in-hand concept of what of your physical life and your spiritual life. You don't want your mind and your thought processes to be controlled by anything, physically or spiritually, except the words of our Heavenly Father. And changes do go on when you leave behind the drug-oriented health system. There's definitely things that go on that our Heavenly Father recognizes and wants to show you other things as you grow in different areas. A lot of the people that have come to me have said that when they started seeking truth in their spiritual life by giving up their paganism and so forth, that he also dealt with them in their physical health, that it needed to be taken care of in a natural way. That's a beautiful thing when you think about it. He was dealing with them on all aspects of their health and of their whole being.
Absolutely. And I want to stress what you brought out just a minute ago. Our Father is merciful above all, and He loves us. He is our Father, and He loves us so much He wants the best for us, and He realizes the best for us is to obey Him, and that's why His law is so beautiful. It's made so that we treat each other properly, so that we treat Him properly, and so that we take care of these temples that He's given us. And in 1 Corinthians 10:13, He also makes another promise. He says, "No trial has overtaken you except such as is common to man, and Elohim is trustworthy, who shall not allow you to be tried beyond what you are able, but with the trial shall also make the way of escape, enabling you to bear it." And so when we have health challenges or physical challenges, we have to cling to the promises that He's made to us and remember that He is merciful above all, and then look up all of the scriptures that tell us to fear not. Yeah, we just need to really remember that and remember His promises and remember that He is merciful.
He is. He loves us. I mean, the supreme thought that we should have is our Heavenly Father loves us. We should fear and respect Him for all the graciousness that He's extended to us. I mean, the fact that we're living in this self-sustaining, like I like to call it, it's a huge terrarium, basically, we live in. Everything's here. He provided everything before we were even born into this earth. I mean, and He wants to interact with us even now in this terribly corrupted world. He still wants to save us. He still wants to help us. He still wants to provide for us. He wants to show us that He loves us as a very distinct individual. That always just astounds me, that He interacts in my personal life. And I have many testimonies of things I needed at a particular time, and it came at the right time, you know, in the right place and the right amount and all of these different things, that He wants to take care of us. We just have to be willing. We have to be willing to listen to His voice. We have to have that faith that He does love us. And we have to be willing to obey. When He shows us something, do it. Do it as quickly as possible. You know, once every 7 years, the law of our Heavenly Father was read to the congregation of Israel. By the time you were 20, you were basically responsible for yourself as an adult. That means that if they had no teaching Levites, the children up to the age of 20 had only heard the full laws of our Heavenly Father twice or maybe three times in their lifetime. And He expected them to enact it immediately. So this is the attitude that we should have, is that we want to find out what His will is, and His word reveals that, and enact it as soon as possible. That's repentance. Basically, you're repenting from a life of dead works to a life of works that have life in them. And that's what we want to do, to become that spiritually and physically mature and whole person that He wanted for us from the beginning.
Absolutely. I'd like to go back and just focus one more time on our speech as far as what we profess over ourselves and our family, with a testimony of basically how I got into the ministry that I'm in, you know, producing this program and the book that I have and the CD and all of that. It's back when I first started learning to walk in Torah and to get rid of the paganism, I was diagnosed with basal cell carcinoma with aggressive growth pattern. And my doctor, when he diagnosed me, gave me all these horror stories like what you were talking about and really scared me and said I needed to go to a specialist and that I had cancer and all of this. And so I was waiting to get into a specialist. And, you know, I was going through all of the things that you go through, anger and God, why is this happening to me? You know, I have an 8-year-old son and all of that. And one day while I was waiting to get into the specialist, I said or did something that was not right. I can't remember what it was, but I do remember my husband saying, well, Yeshua, he wouldn't say that. And I blurted out, well, Yeshua, he didn't have cancer. And immediately I felt my Heavenly Father basically smack me in the spirit and say, wait a minute. And so I felt horrible about saying that right then. I started crying and I went out the door and went on a long walk talking to my Heavenly Father. And what I heard Him say out there when I sat down and just listened to Him, I heard Him say in the spirit in that still small voice, you don't have cancer. Cancer does not belong to you. Cancer belongs to the enemy. You belong to me. You do not belong to the enemy. You do not have cancer. It's not yours. And so I went home and I told my husband this. And then when I finally got into the specialist, she did another more extensive biopsy of the area where the cells were still supposed to be. And when it came back totally clean. There were no cancer cells. It was only scar tissue. Everything was gone. And I even went back several months later and had it retested. It was completely gone. And so I think right there I learned, for one thing, we shouldn't say that we have anything, because the spirit of fear comes from the enemy. And also bad diagnoses come from the enemy. We might be dealing with something. We might have something that we're dealing with because our Father, like you said, wants to lead us into better health and into better practices and into more obedience. But diseases do not belong to us. And so we should never say, I have this. And a doctor should never say, you have that, in my opinion. There might be something there, but it's not ours. And we should never take ownership of it.
It's something that doesn't belong there. and it's placed there by different agencies, I really believe. And if we live according to how he wants us to live, and we claim his promises, his mercies, his blessings, his healing power, we can be a clean vessel, physically and spiritually, and free of all of these things that were the things that were brought upon the land of Egypt.
Amen. Absolutely agree. Switching gears here, would you like to get into speaking about vaccinations? Because there might be some new parents out there that are being bombarded with things from their doctors saying, oh, if you don't get this vaccine or that vaccine, you're endangering your child and the other children around them. What would you say to those parents?
Well, I think you need to go a little bit into the history. When vaccinations were first started, which was in the 1800s, they wanted to take a live virus, inject it into a human, in other words, purposely infect them, so that their bodies could make an antibody when the populations of the inoculant were small. In other words, let's give the person one or two of the viruses, let their body build antibodies, so that if they ever come into contact with someone who has a lot of the viruses, they already have a fence built up or a defense against this pathogen. Number one, vaccinations can only help, supposedly, a virus, because only viruses can build antibodies. So if someone wants to give you a vaccination for a bacteria, it's a hoax, because there's a whole different defense system in your immune system that deals with bacteria, mold, fungus, and parasites than the defense system that deals with viruses. So that's number one. You need to know that. Number two, you need to know that when vaccinations were first started, they were made out of filth. In other words, they were made out of disease, but they added a lot of other things into those vaccinations. One was feces. One was brain tissue. So that's another thing. And as a scripture believer, I don't see how it's possible that a person could allow those things to be injected. Now, that was in the very beginning. And that was the principle we were supposed to think, that if you injected a small amount of an inoculant, that you would build a big defense. Since that time, the whole nature of the industry of vaccination has changed completely, because if you knew all of the things that can now be added to vaccinations that are so completely contrary to the building of health, you would understand that we're in a completely different scenario where vaccinations actually harm your health in every way and sometimes can do permanent damage to your body. I just wrote a book called Shot Detox, and it explains it in it. It tells how to detox from all of the things that can come into a vaccination. This is such a large subject, because you have to understand how a child's immune system develops from the time they're a baby. They now want to give children inoculations on the first day of life when their immune system is at its very lowest. The things that come in, there's a list on Wikipedia. If you look up vaccination ingredients, Wikipedia, there's a list there of every single vaccination that's normally given and its ingredients, which doctors will not tell you when you go in usually for a vaccination. You will see all of the things, and I'm going to list a few of the things right here that a scripturally alert person should be aware of. There's aborted babies, fetal line tissue. There's pig tissue. There's horseshoe crab tissue. There's horse tissue. Now, those are just some of the tissues. Now, there's other things in there that are very strong chemicals that should never enter your body anyhow. The other thing is, we don't really know what happens when you inject into your flesh another DNA other than your flesh. In other words, horse, pig, horseshoe crab, anything. We don't know how your body really reacts long term to that, because there's a multiplication effect of any tissue that's introduced into your body. We also don't know what happens when the aborted fetal tissue is used. say you're a male and you're injecting into your body female aborted fetal tissue. We're not sure what exactly happens when you mix those two, or the other way around. Say you're a female and the aborted fetal tissue is from a male. So there's so many different ethical issues and scriptural ethical issues in dealing with this that, first of all, I don't think you should take it. And I had 8 children. None of them ever had any vaccinations when they were in my care. And they were healthy as horses. Now, they did get chickenpox for 1 day. And one of my sons got the mumps for 2 days. But he totally overcame it because we were eating a natural food diet. Doesn't mean you're not going to ever get sick, because there's community diseases passing through your community all the time. There's different viruses. There's different bacteria you come in contact with. But your body has an immune system. If it's fed well, you will be able to overcome it. That doesn't mean you'll never get sick. It means that you will be able to effectively mount a defense against it, so that you may feel down for a day or two, or you may get a cough, or you may get a sore throat, but your body has an immune system that can deal with it effectively, so that in a day or so, you're better again. And that's what the immune system is for, basically, is to deal when these things come through. But when you purposely inject all of these different pathogens, which is a virus, bacteria, mold, fungus, and it could be a parasite part, although vaccinations don't inject parasites into you yet, you're forcing your immune system to go into overdrive trying to deal with it. Not just the pathogen, but all of these adjuvants that they put in it that should never be introduced into your body at any time. So that just sort of gives you an overview of vaccinations. And I think they're totally worthless and at the point of being totally detrimental. Not only that, we know that certain things that go into the vaccinations, like mercury, tin, nickel, and so forth, can do permanent nerve and brain damage. And we see this in this rise of autism and autistic spectrum. And if people keep vaccinating their children at the rate and at a higher rate that they're doing now, we soon will have a population where maybe up to 50% of the people will have autistic spectrum symptoms, because these things do permanent damage, or while they're there, they do damage. My book, Shot Detox, basically shows you these things, and it goes into more detail than what I've said here, but gives you sort of a paradigm in which to think about how these vaccinations work. There's many natural things that are so powerful that can pull out these different chemicals. There's even things that can correct DNA damage that we have. Noni juice is one, garlic is one, frankincense is one. Can actually go into a nucleus and change the DNA structure back to normal. It can correct it, that if they're taken faithfully, can help some of these things. It's a study in itself. It's a very important study right now. The other aspect is that people don't realize is that the drug industry, if they can make you ill from the time you're a baby, you're a customer for life for all of their assorted drugs. And that's another evil and pernicious thing that's going on. And I think the book of Revelation even deals with it, where it talks about pharmakia. They want everyone to be on a drug so that they're making money off something that's completely worthless for your health and actually is degrading your health instead of making you well, in the name of supposedly making you well. When my oldest son was a child, we lived next door to a chiropractor, and the school, he went to school for 1.5 years, and then I homeschooled the rest of the time, wanted him to get a vaccination. So I went over to the chiropractor because I know he was sort of natural oriented. And I said to him, without knowing any of the facts about the chemical nature of all of these vaccinations and so forth, and I said to him, what would you do? Would you vaccinate your children? He said, I've never vaccinated my children. And he said, the reason is your immune system should be allowed to mature at its own rate according to what it's confronted with. And he said, it's much more effective to do that than to constantly bombard your immune system with these different immunizations that are constantly knocking your immune system down in order for them to mount an immune response. And that's exactly what I found with my children, is that because they weren't exposed to this constant barrage of immunizations that knock your immune system down temporarily, they had very high immune systems when they were confronted with some of these community diseases and got over them very quickly without any problems at all.
Absolutely. And you were talking about, you know, customer for life. I'd like to elaborate on that as well. Not to mention the amount of money that they make mandating so many vaccines for every child in the United States that goes to a public school. I mean, just think of the billions of vaccinations they give pretty much every year, and they're making money off of each and every one of them. So that's a really good income for them to be able to get the government to mandate their product. And then they use the fear tactics to encourage you to go get these vaccines for yourself and for your children. And they're even starting to say that all adults should get the flu vaccine every year. So there's another line of income for them. And it's all fear driven. They say, if you don't do this, if you don't get the vaccine, you're going to get sick, you could die. And that's what the enemy uses. Again, our Abba has not given us the spirit of fear. So then who does the spirit of fear come from? It comes from the enemy, and he definitely uses it against us in every way possible. And then what you said about pharmakia, absolutely, in Revelation, pharmakia, the Greek word, is translated as sorceries and witchcraft, and that's where we get our word pharmacy from. And one last thing on the vaccinations that my husband actually was revealed to him. Think about it. Vaccinations are putting things into your body right through the skin, bypassing all of your natural immunity, all of your natural defenses. What other animal delivers poisons through the skin? Isn't that the serpent? The serpent delivers his poison through the skin, and that's exactly what we're doing with vaccinations to our children.
That's a very good point, and it's true. Everything that heals you naturally goes through your digestive system and then is absorbed and goes through your circulatory system to every single cell in your body. That's the way we heal naturally. When you inject something directly into the flesh, it doesn't go through that process. You're absolutely right. That's, as I said previously, that's why I really wonder what happens. Do we really know what happens when you inject these different DNAs into your body without it going through the digestive system first? Or, you know, because it's even an unclean animal, what it does. We really have no clue what it does. We really don't. And it's very pernicious, because we're seeing just terrible long-term chronic diseases with these people that have had multiple vaccinations, immunizations, and flu shots. The fact that your urge to spend your money, or even forced to spend your money, on a type of medical system that is contrary to health is very confounding to me personally. I would rather spend, instead of putting $200 toward an insurance policy every month, I would rather spend those $200 on supplements and ways to build up my health. And it's, you know, and when you look at it that way, you see that you're forced almost to buy something that is contrary to building your health and in order to make someone else wealthy. The other thing that I touched on a little bit, the immunization itself, the physician makes money off of, but the long-term effects of that immunization in lifelong problems such as allergies and digestive problems and nerve problems and brain problems brings in another additional income. And knowing that most pharmaceutical companies look at you as a product with about a 60-year shelf life, and then there's another 10 million people behind you that'll take your place on that shelf when you die, gives another whole dimension to what the healthcare system is really all about.
Absolutely. And also, we are not seeking to promote fear here, folks. We say that there is no fear in our Abba. And so the only one that we should fear is our Creator. And when we're in Him, we don't need to fear these things. Some of you parents may have already made the decision to do the vaccinations because you believe that was best for your children. Well, there's still no need to fear. Even once you get this information, our Father still allows a way for us to repent. He still created our bodies to be healthy and to be healed. And I think that's what your book deals with, is once you have done vaccinations or some of these things and you decide that maybe those weren't the right things that you should have done, there are things that you can do to reverse any effects that might be felt from those type of decisions, isn't there?
Yes. There's some very strong herbs and natural treatments, charcoal, different clays, different herbs that can pull out the effects of these vaccinations. And it's a mercy and a blessing that we even know about them. Because as you said, some parents, out of love to their children, follow their doctor's direction and think they're doing something good for their children. And they later learn that they probably should not have done that. But there is a mercy and a blessing and, you know, a way of escape and a way to heal from those things. And it takes time. It takes education. But I wrote this book purposely for that, because I wanted people to know there is a way that you can pull out some of the effects of these vaccinations and get yourself back on to a track of being really healthy again. And to me, it's so wicked that it's perpetrated upon children. But if we're awakened to the need to detox from it, there is a way you can. And I hope that this book is very beneficial. It's only been out about a month, and I've had such great remarks about it already. It's just very gratifying, and I hope people will, you know, look into it.
And while we're there, why don't you tell folks where they can get either one of your books, Natural Herbal Therapy and also the Vaccination Detox book? Where can they go to purchase those?
You can go to Amazon.com. I have those two books and some other books on there that I've written. And you can also go to my website, naturalherbaltherapy.info, and purchase the books over there. The second book, Shot Detox, will soon be in a Kindle edition. It takes a little bit of time to get it into that edition. Natural Herbal Therapy is also already in a Kindle edition. And people can call me. If you go to my website, if you'd like to have individual information, please call me. I'll be glad to do that. I'm a counselor and spend time with people as an individual. I'd be glad to help you in any way. I do medical, I call it natural medical missions, where I go out and help people in their home. Say they have the diagnosis of cancer, I'll go to their home, stay 3 to 5 days, teach them how to take care of themselves naturally, or family members who want to help. And then I leave and they take over, or they call me and, you know, I can stay longer. I've stayed up to 2 weeks with people that are critically ill to get them to the point where they can take care of themselves naturally, and they can, you know, take over and do everything themselves. I'm a Torah teacher also. I speak at seminars and conferences and so forth, and do programs for people if they're interested in that.
Okay, well, awesome. Those are some wonderful resources. And folks, I do encourage you to check them out, because there's a wealth of information in just the book that I started reading, which is now Natural Herbal Therapy. One last thing that I would like to talk about before we end our interview would be one of the toughest questions that I know face all of us, especially Torah observant people who are seeking to do the will of Abba and seeking to obey all that he commanded as we're told to. And yet sometimes those around us that we believe are doing the same thing, that are Torah observant and seeking to obey and honor and glorify our Creator and King, may end up themselves still being sick with a debilitating disease or even a deadly disease. And, you know, some even maybe die of these diseases. And then we wonder, and that may make us question, you know, are we doing the right thing? And I know a family right now that they're Sabbath observant, and their 13-year-old daughter was diagnosed with a rare childhood cancer. And so that makes us all wonder, you know, maybe question, well, gosh, if that can happen to them, well, then what would be stopping it from happening to me? And so what would you say to that really tough question there about when we see others around us that we believe are very Torah observant, kind, loving people, but then they get these things, these trials?
Well, the purpose of this life is to promote us to the next life. And we're each given a time period in which to do that. And although our Heavenly Father gives us instructions to keep our health strong, if we were in a totally natural environment, like at the time of the Garden of Eden, as we know, some people lived hundreds of years at that point, The natural environment did not change. Now we have man-made chemicals that are sometimes irreversible to break up. So there's so many complicating issues that cause some of the worst diseases that we have right now that people die of. That's number one. Number two, even if we get to live 100 years, that's still not very long compared to the eternity that he promises us. We don't always know exactly everything that's going on in someone's life. We don't know how far they're willing to go. We don't know all of the cumulative effects of their past life that produce the life they have now. And although we may be forgiven of sins, say you committed a murder and you were sentenced to prison for 60 years, when you're converted, you can be forgiven of the murder, but you may have to stay in prison still for 60 years. I mean, there's a possibility you could pray and be let out early, but the point is you're still suffering the consequences of a previous sin. So it's hard for me to judge these things because I don't know the hearts and the exact conditions of every single person. And although we like to think very fondly and emotionally about people that we love dearly, we know that this life doesn't last long and that the flesh doesn't last long. And we're being bombarded at this point on every level to degrade our physical flesh. And life is snuffed out for some people because they don't have the reserves. They don't have, you know, the every condition met that they need for life to prolong. And when you look at it, the fact that this life is only the proving ground, it's not the final destination, it doesn't bother me that much that people die early because they've had an opportunity to be in communion with their Heavenly Father for the years that they've had. And he also says at one point that some people are taken away because of the evil that's to come, and he doesn't want them to have to experience that. And I believe that. I've noticed some people that have died at different times, and then what happened afterwards, after they died, they were saved from some terrible circumstances that would have greatly affected them. So we have to take all of these things into consideration of that, you know, and we have to continue, no matter what happens, to have faith ourselves personally, of all the goodness that we have seen in our own personal life, and persevere on in faith and obedience to our Heavenly Father. You know, there's times when hope is gone, when faith has to take over. And I truly believe that. I've seen it in different people's lives, that sometimes you lose hope of something happen, but faith takes over and continues on. And we have to cling to that no matter what happens and no matter what we see happening in other people.
I agree completely. I think we really, really just need to cling to his promises to remind ourselves. That's why we have to be into the word. Regardless of what's happening around us, we need to be into the word and realize that his promises are for us, and cling to those promises, and just be in prayer and communion with him constantly as to what he wants us to do to improve our health and to obey him and to glorify him. And that we shouldn't be judging what's going on in someone else's life because, like you said, we don't know the entire story. We don't know. And so those are the things, like Psalms 91 says, even if we see 1,000 fall at our right hand and 10,000 at our left hand, we still need to cling to the promise that it will not come near us. And even the promise in the New Testament where he says those that believe will be able to lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Well, we've got to have that kind of faith that, you know what, he said it, I believe it. And I believe there's a time coming when that will re-manifest itself in a multitude of believers, that is going to happen again because he said so. And I found something on a website when I was accidentally got on the wrong Facebook page, but it really spoke to me. And this is the quote, I'll quote part of it. It says, a lot of times when you get in this season of desperation, you let your guard down and let anyone speak into your life. This is so dangerous. You have to ask God for discernment and not just accept anything from anyone. When you get conflicting words from others or even yourself, get quiet with God and quit seeking others to confirm something. God will speak to you if you get quiet in his presence during confusion. Don't let the noise around you confuse what God has already told you. He is not a God that lies. And he has already told us what we need to know in his word. And then he also speaks to us individually and personally through his spirit. And so that's what we need to cling to, is our relationship with him. In Philippians, it says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And I believe that is our own health salvation as well. And so we should be very careful not to focus on what's going on with other people. We need to pray for them, lay hands on them, encourage them, give them scriptures, but we don't need to doubt our health and our healing by what's going on around us. We need to know that our Father is in control, and these are the promises that he made, and if he's telling us to do something, we need to do it. And so those are my thoughts on that really tough question.
I think that's excellent. You know, mankind in general only progresses when there's knowledge of truth. And when the Bible says the devil has deceived the whole world, he's withholding truth. And if we were program installed from the moment we're born with every bit of knowledge that we would need until the day we died, I know there would be a lot different outcome for a lot of people. But because we're taught by deceived people throughout our lifetime, and then we can only correct ourselves when we turn to Scripture and look for the truths that are in there, we suffer in life because of our lack of knowledge of truths that we need to know. So when someone is taken early, I don't look at it as a disappointment, because I know that this life is only a testing ground for the one to come. And the one to come is so vastly more important and glorious than the one here. And the Heavenly Father knows when it's time for you to go, or you've passed to the level that he wants you to go. Whatever, it's all in his hands. It's all in his judgment. It's all in his foreknowledge. And we should just rejoice that the person had life, and that they had an opportunity to have life. They had an opportunity to be loved by other people, and to be cared for by other people, and for other people to have concern for them, and leave the judgment of the whole matter in our Heavenly Father's hands.
Absolutely. I agree completely. And that reminds me of something that you said in our first talk when we weren't visiting for an interview. But I'm reminded of something that you said to me earlier in one of our first talks before we did the interview, that none of us are going to get out of here alive unless, you know, Yeshua comes back first and translates us alive into his kingdom. But he never created us to be sickly and to be his children. It's not his will for his children to be sick, I think is what you said. That is a distraction. And when we're sick, we can't actually work as hard as we could for him, as for his kingdom and for other people, when we're distressed and down and in bed and sick and with some of these debilitating diseases. If we were well, we could do more for his kingdom. And if you look at the patriarchs, they just slept with their fathers. It doesn't say that they had a years-long struggle with a debilitating disease where they were in the doctor's office more than they were at home. And so even if he numbers our days to be a little bit shorter than someone else's days, I still think those days were meant to be healthy so that we could enjoy our lives, have life, and have it more abundantly, as Yeshua said.
I agree. You know, he's so merciful. He's so giving. He's so wonderful to give us information. You know, one of the things that I tell people when I give talks to them on health and on Torah, I said, you need to pray for the Heavenly Father to give you the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And if you open yourself up to that, he will start revealing to you the things you need to make your life better in every single aspect of your life, including your health. And I hope that, you know, I can be one of those avenues to awaken people. My book, the book Natural Herbal Therapy, gives people this paradigm that's Torah-based in which to think about how to return their health. And I hope that people will avail themselves of it.
Absolutely. I've already learned a lot from you, and I think I'm going to be consulting with you on a couple of things here in the near future. So, yes, you definitely are a wealth of information that we can certainly glean from, and I do appreciate all of your time and the fact that you are so willing to give all of this information out over this program for others to hear. So, everybody, please visit her website. Again, please tell us what that is and what your Facebook page names are so that people can get a hold of you.
Please join my Facebook page. It's Lucinda Gibbs Robinson. I give all sorts of current information on natural cures, on Torah-based teaching, on homeschooling, on vaccinations, on things that I think women and children would especially benefit from. I also have another Facebook page called Natural Herbal Therapy that's just health tips. And my website is www.naturalherbaltherapy.info, I-N-F-O. And that's through that you can contact me if I can help you as an individual.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for joining me. I really appreciate it. And it's been a pleasure chatting with you and discussing Torah and healing with you.
Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity and I pray for your listeners.
Thank you very much. This has been our entire interview with Lucinda Gibbs Robinson of Natural Herbal Therapy. Thank you for tuning in, and if you have questions, please email us at hwh@hiswordheals.com. Blessings and shalom to all of you and everyone in your homes.